Thank you, Miss Melissa. What a blessing. We started the Wednesday night service back. Don't know if I forgot to tell you. We've been studying on the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. We talked about the creation Sabbath. We're now talking about the covenant Sabbath that God made with Israel. Next, we'll talk about the Christian Sabbath. Then we're going to talk about the coming Sabbath. The word Sabbath, Shabbat, means rest. We think of a Sabbath as being a worship day, but the weekly Sabbath was not a day of worship. It was a day of rest. Amen. God set the pattern. Amen. So thank God that God does and always has given His people rest, amen, by trusting in Him. Did y'all enjoy that new piano player today? Give her a hand. That's a blessing to my heart, because I can remember in the old building when me and Miss Ann sat the same place we sit right now. She was born and she was a baby sitting right behind us, and they'd pass her over to us, and I'd give her my watch to play with. And she'd sit on Miss Ann's lap, and we held her, amen, till she grew a little bigger and got attached to Daddy and stayed back there with him. That's when all this candy business started. I would bring them M&M's and Tootsie Rolls and stuff, amen, because they are special to me, and what a blessing that child is. Young lady, she's growing up so fast, as are all these children we've seen that have grown up in here. What a blessing. Bobby, did you bring a tape? No, he didn't bring no tape. Larry, you got no discipline at your house. You got to do something. I told her. She's one carries the big whip, huh? Amen. I understand. That's all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we had some birthdays last week. I didn't mention them because my mind is slowly being covered with moss. And I hadn't figured a way to kill it yet. But last week, we had a couple of birthdays. Miss Sharon back there, she had a bad nasal thing last week. But it was her birthday. Amen. I know how old she is, but I ain't saying. So, Miss Sharon, we wish you a happy birthday. She's been faithful since they came to the church. Also, Brother Gary had a birthday last week. Isn't that right? Amen. I don't know how old you are. Amen. Let's see who else is here. Who am I overlooking, Ann? Let's see. Heidi's not here. She got a birthday this coming week, right? I know how she's going to be. She's going to be 40 years old. Now, I don't have a memory. I just know that because that's how old Donovan turned a couple of weeks ago. They're the same age, just a few weeks apart. Amen. What a blessing. Well, happy birthday to you. Did I overlook anybody? Which I do badly. Any anniversaries? That's where Brandy and her husband are today. They're on an anniversary road trip. But Eli's with us here. Amen. And Jamie's here with us. And Granny's here with us. And we thank God for them. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you? Then just relax, rest, enjoy the goodness of God, and worship Him. Amen. He is just so good. Oh, I need to make an announcement. Tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock, Brother Al over at West Bonifay Baptist Church is inviting everyone to come to what he calls four great nights of preaching. I can stand that myself. Amen. It begins at 6 o'clock each night. It begins tonight, and some strange fellow, Donnie Murphy's preaching tonight. Tomorrow night, Byron Faircloth will be preaching from First Baptist Church in Estow. Tuesday night, Lee Korn from New Teman Baptist Church, I think in Alabama, will be preaching. And this Wednesday, Brother Gary Taylor will be preaching. Here's a brochure here if you would like to get one before you leave. I went to Cloud yesterday to get something, and here was one of these on the door. Left there and went down to the dollar store to get something. There was one of these on the door. So Brother Al has been busy and working hard. Amen. So if you're not absolutely tied up or kidnapped, do your best to come and be a part of that service. I know he would appreciate it. It's a good church. It's good people. I love them, and I enjoy preaching for them. So you remember that. Amen. If you can't make it, pray for them. Amen. We're not in a competition. We're in this together. Amen. Amen. If a soul ain't going to get saved here, I want to get saved over there. Amen. And that's what God's going to do. And so I thank you for that. Well, guess what? We have Brother Billy here with us today. And you know what that means? That means that he's ready to preach, because I told him a long time ago, if you come to church now, you be ready to preach, because I want you to preach. Amen. Calvary, do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how many churches I have seen just crumble when they lost their pastor? I mean, in my life, really, that's the most difficult and dangerous time for a pastor. But God bless Brother Ike so, and he was so full of wisdom too, let me say this, that when he had his heart surgery, myself and Brother Billy were there. We alternated Sundays and preached, and things carried back on until Brother Ike was able to get his health back and he could get up and preach. Amen. And then when we lost him, you had me and Brother Billy to cover for you until you find you somebody. And I'm quite sure that you're still looking now. I've tried to talk Billy into it, but I'm getting mossy-headed, like I told you. No, I'm soon going to become one of those the Bible calls the whore-haired men. That's H-O-A-R now, for you that have got one leg still out in the world. Amen. That's supposed to mean a wise man. That's somebody you go to for advice, you see. They were retired. Priests got to retire at 50. I'm not going to preach. I ain't going to get into all that right now. But I appreciate Brother Billy. He's been faithful to this church. Amen. He's been here when this church has needed him. And I'm quite confident that in the future, when the church needs him, you'll be able to call upon him and he'll be here for you. And so, Brother Billy, you come, brother. I appreciate you. I love you so much. And I thank God for your effort, your work, your labor, and your preaching in Calvary Baptist Church. You've been a blessing to us. You always are. And so we have confidence that if something happens in the future, you'll be here for Calvary. Love you, brother. Appreciate you. You turn it on, mount it up like you want to, where it's comfortable.
Yes, sir.
And just share the word of God he's given to you for us. Love you. Appreciate you. Let me make sure
too.
I've got that on. I think we're good to go. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good to see Brother Donnie and each one of you. Pray you're doing good in the Lord and the daily things. We trust God's ministering to you and healing you and helping you. I want you to pray for my wife's brother. She has a brother that's had 5 bypasses this week, and it's just a few years younger than I am. But God's doing some things and trying to hem him up in his life. And, you know, we read about folks that God brings back. Amen. Ain't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
But pray God will do physical miracles. Have already happened, but spiritual miracles too. Amen. He needs a spiritual miracle, just like we all did when we was wild and woolly and kicking up dust. And yes, I looked the right way that but God is good. We're glad that he ministers to us. And I can recall so many things that Brother Donnie was mentioning there, those long nights in the back of a car. It wasn't a 53 Ford. You said a Ford, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it was whatever Grandpa had. We was in it to win it. We was out for the long haul. And so I knew where every package store was in Kanaka County. Our county was dry, but all around us was wet counties.
Yeah.
And so I knew all the neighboring counties too. But the bright side of it was, when him and Earl stopped, made him a little pit stop, they always come out with a pack of chips and soda water. Back then, it was the short 6-ounce Coca-Cola bottle. Y'all remember them, I know. But I was proud to see them the time I'd sit out there in the truck waiting on them. But those things, I look back and reflect on them and pray that, you know, God uses things like that to point us where he wants us to go. Amen? And so if we were all you know, little angels, we wouldn't see conviction in our life, would we? But, you know, I've watched God save. I got saved in 87. Y'all have heard that. My grandmother, God allowed me to see my grandmother get saved before she went in. And granddaddy had already gone. I'll leave that one up to the Lord, what happened there. But I watched God Save My Mother while I was pastoring up in Butler County. And so many family members and people God lets us touch. And so that's the way He does it. He uses people, amen? And so if we realize that and understand people are watching us and they're listening to us, and so we may be the only Bible some folks ever read. It may be when they think about church or they think about Christ, you may be the only person they know that represents that, and that kind of sobers us up a little bit. Not that Christian people can't have fun. That's not so. Whoever come up with that, they missed it. I tell you, God's people enjoy the things of God, amen, and all the liberties He allows. So don't feel like, don't let them dupe you and think you're missing something out there with the world. You're not missing a thing. And so, you know, the joys of the Lord are your strength, amen, and they're also the things that God uses to motivate us to do more for Him, amen. Why? Because the blessings, the real blessings of God come from God, and that's the only way you experience them. Isn't that true? I want you to look with me in Genesis 27, if you got your Bible. Genesis 27 of God's Word. I think about Miss Monette. Here she is. I see her back there because Miss Monette fixed my Bible. I told you I'm eternally grateful because I didn't lose all those notes and things. And so we're going to be looking in Genesis 27. Well, Genesis 27 is where the binding got broke. And so if you saw it here, you'd see that bottom part of that page is a little tattered and really worn. It wasn't nothing she could do with it because I'd done too much with it. And sometimes, you know, it's not in the way is the main point. But I appreciate, once again, I tell her all the time, she's probably tired of me telling her, but I'm still thrilled that God held it together, because Brother Donnie and Brother, you all know what this is like. When you got your notes and your spots and your marks, and those things are really critical, especially for a preacher when you're trying to reference something to get a hold of it quick. But you look back on, you take a new Bible with nothing wrote in it and go back to the one that you got all your writings and markings and spots, and you're like, woo, I'll take that old one better than the new one. And so you know what that means. Look in 27. I want you to see a text we're going to read here and talk a little bit about how God gets us where He wants us. Amen. Now, sometimes we think we pick our paths and choose our ways, and we feel like we know where we're going when we get to this stage of life and that stage of life. We're going to build over here or buy over there. We're going to do all these things, and we see them, even if we don't voice them, we see them in our projector of the mind. We've got it all laid out, and we're going to play it out as we assume, but we all know in reality that don't happen. And so it didn't happen also in Bible times when God was bringing people in. Of course, we know the first man, Adam, remember him? He's the first man. That has a lot of meaning if you read behind those, and I don't read behind those, but you hear about those that talk about the pre-Adamite age. Remember that? There was a time that was really popular, that people were promoting the pre-Adamite age. But I want to tell you, there is no man before Adam. No, because the Word said the first man, Adam. And when God says it, that settles it, don't it? It's the first man, Adam. And so here we find it, when God picked Adam, He also used the lineage of Adam that He wanted. And so we find it that God chose it, and as it proceeded through in the first 1,000 years, we find it that in Abraham shall thy seed be called. And so God picked Abraham. Now we know there were people, there was Noah, of course. The first choosing we see was Adam, and then we see the choosing of Noah, and then 500 years later we see the choosing of Abraham, maybe 1,000 years later. And so then that proceeds on downward until God has chose a man. He has picked a man, And here we see it in the 26th chapter, where God has called a man and said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so Isaac is the father of two boys, that being Jacob and Esau. You know the story, but if you're not familiar with it, we'll fill you in just a little bit here. And so we find it that here Esau was the firstborn, and to the firstborn belonged the blessing. Isn't that right? And so here in the blessing, there's something going on that's a little peculiar right here. And this shows us, sometimes people think, well, God is very orthodox, and that's true. But God also works outside the circle, doesn't he? Because if it was only by the circle, here we would see it that Esau would remain with the birthright that is given to him by being the firstborn. But God, in his wisdom and in his divine intellect, here he, by choice, is going to change something in the life of this family that's forever going to change the life of Judaism and Christianity forever. Isn't that so? And so we see it here. I want to focus with you a little bit and watch this in the 27th chapter. Look with me in Genesis 27 and see this. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called unto Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." He said unto him, "Behold, here I am," or "here am I." And he said, "Behold, now the days I am old, I know not the days of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out unto the field." Now we get a little bit of a lesson about how old these weapons are. Isn't that amazing? And so God taught him how to make a bow and taught him how to use the spear. And so these men were mighty hunters, mighty hunters. I mean, they were skilled at it. I'm going to tell you, when your ribs go to caving in, you'll get good at it, won't you? And so that's how they got good at it. They got hungry and got better. And so here, God has called him and told him, and he's letting him know, Isaac's saying, "I'm old and I'm dim with age," and God's getting ready to pass something down here. Why? Because God didn't put us here to stay, church. He put us here to leave. Now, I don't know how long our time is, and you don't either, but I tell you one thing, just as unsuspecting as we see those leave, that's going to be us one day. We may have a warning. I think cancer has been a blessing to a lot of people. Why? Because it changed their eternal destiny. And so outside of that, if there would have been something, God forbid, tragically happened in an instant, they might have left lost. But if God, if they suffer through things of disease, as terrible as it is, and I don't say this lightly, but if God gives them space to repent, ain't that a blessed thing? That's a blessing. Why? Because many get right with God. You say, well I don't believe in deathbed repentance. Well, you ought to. It's real. Amen. Why? Because God saves people on their deathbed. God raises those that he wills and gives space to repent. That's what it takes to be saved. Now, we don't know the last time God's going to deal with us. I worried about that before I knew anything about the Bible. It scared me. Why? Because I told you before, God dealt with me revival, 85, revival, all these things. These different years, God was dealing with me. And even in my ignorance, I knew nothing about the Bible, but I knew one thing. I didn't feel like I knew I would get another call. Does that make sense? I didn't know. It's something that speaks, and it's only Christ alone, church, that speaks to our heart and says, did you ever feel this, like when you were rejecting? And don't act like you never rejected God's call, because he's called you. Listen, he didn't put us here and destined us to go to an awful place of torment. No, he put us here and set up a plan through his beloved son that we could be saved. And for his sake, he still calls sinners today. And so when we don't heed that call, you know what happens? The Holy Ghost speaks to our heart and deals with it. That's what conviction is. Real conviction. I mean conviction that you leave in an uncomfortable state. I have seen, and I'm sure you have too, people leave the church so torn up on the inside, their emotions snotting and squalling. And I don't say that to gross you out. I'm talking about real guilt and God dealing with sinners to the point they've lost all control. And they go on out. And maybe they got saved later, but we didn't see it that time. And how many times does God call? We don't know. Could be 10. Could be 1. We don't know. And here, God is working his plan in the life and the lineage of the people that he wants to use. And so we find it. Look down a little bit. He's told Esau, and Esau's going about. And Rebekah, verse 5, heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field hunting for venison and to bring it. Rebekah spake to Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I have heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother. I've heard him bring me venison and make me savory meat, and I may eat and bless thee before my death. Now, therefore, my son, watch this. This is a mother's direct command. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from two good kids of the goats, and I will make them a savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, he respected his mother. He said, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. So obstacle number one, he never said, I don't want to do it, but he wants to know how are we going to get around that. And so we find it here. There's obstacles. You said, preacher, there's obstacles in my life. I need to get things out of my way before I get things fixed. They know that Jacob is in his, not Jacob, but Isaac is in his last days. They know he's getting near to his going home. They understand that he's old and that he's ready to go to the grave. And so they're dealing with this and talking about this. And so you see it right here, as they prepared it for him, Jacob's dealing with this thing. I'm a smooth man. Esau's a hairy man. My father peradventure will feel me and will seem to him as a deceiver. Wonder, it's very ironic that he used that word, isn't it? Why? Because it become his whole reputation. It become his whole reputation. But don't you think for a moment that changed the spirituality of Jacob? Because it did not. Listen, we talk about places where we see it over in Jeremiah 30, where God talks in reference to the whole house of Israel. And remember, Jacob become those 12 tribes, didn't he? He become those 12 tribes. When you talk about Israel today, you talk about Jacob. When you understand what God done through this man, and in his trickery. And let's straighten that out a little bit. Yeah, it was some trickery, some underhanded stuff. But at the same time, wasn't he doing what his mama told him? Yes. Absolutely. Did he deceive his daddy? He did. I don't think he felt good about it. I think he respected his mother and understood there were some real eternal implications. Church, do you realize it? When there's eternal implications in hearts and lives, and sometimes that be in our own heart if we're not ready and we're not right. I knew one thing when Brother John was preaching and giving that invitation.
invitation call, there were some eternal implications going on in Billy's heart. And God was saying, come unto me. And the old man was saying, stand back. And the Holy Ghost was saying, come. And so we find it here that no doubt Jacob was torn, but bless God, he done what Mama told him. And Mama was right, amen. Why? Because the last person that needed his hand on God's eternal future was Esau. He was the last person. And so, yes, by birthright, he deserved it. But by God's eternal decision, he couldn't have it. And sometimes, watch this, church, sometimes we make decisions that cost us things that God wants to give us. Now, that's so. God wants to give us. It's much like a child. Sometimes you may have somebody pass, and they're going to give all of their goods to their children. And you can't, don't give them to that one. I'm not naming it. I'm just using some kind of example that'll help us. Don't give it to him. He'll waste it. He'll blow it with riotous living. And so doesn't that make you think of the parable? The prodigal son. The prodigal son wasn't a parable, by the way. It was in there around some parables. But Jesus says there was a certain man. And so he was real. And his boys was real. And the one that was self-righteous was real. And the one that knew he was lost, he was real too. And thank God the repentance was real. And so the love of the Savior, the love of the Father that embraced him, bless God, he said he's been gone and God brought him home and he's rejoicing. Now the other brother, we ain't talking about what he's doing, but he's over there pouting and moaning and groaning. And probably run back and just trying to rip and tear everywhere he can, but God's got his hand on him. And here Jacob is. Jacob's doing what he was told. Jacob was going here and obeying what his mother's command was. Why? Because he understood. He understood by the mouth of his mother that this would have eternal implications. Church, we have to get this. Whatever happens in this, and when we leave this world, it's ready or not, here I come. You know how it was back when you saw little kids playing hide and go seek. You didn't have any real toys much, did y'all? And so when all the cousins come over, it's hide and go seek. And you know, if you counted like me, it was 21, 23, 27. And so everybody else was counting right. Most of us skipped a little few numbers, didn't we? And it's ready or not, here I come. And brother, that's what we see in this thing called death. This is what we see in the thing of eternal blessing. God wants you to have it. And so here, she's made this prepared by the hand of her. She gave him the savory meat. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn, and I've done according to thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul, looking in verse number 19, that thy soul will bless me. And Isaac said to his son, Isaac said, I lost it. Let me back up a little. And Isaac said unto his son, I wonder if my eyes are jumping or if the page is jumping. And I think my page is right here a little off. He said, how is it that he is... it's the binding. Miss Monette had to do a miracle to put this one back together. And he quickly, watch now, we'll fill in right here. Because, go down a little bit, because the Lord God hath brought it to me. And so as Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, of my very son, whether thou my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near, and Isaac his father, and he felt and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were very hairy, and his brother's Esau hands
as his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him, and he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Not true. But he's doing what Mama told him. Mama knows the will of God. She understands and realizes the eternal implications right here. I'm amazed at how Jacob couldn't tell the difference in his boys until he smelled them. And so, see this, we've seen people that were really legally blind and can't see. The other senses are more keen. He's like, "Well, you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau." I wouldn't take that as a compliment if I was Esau, but he wasn't there to weigh in on it, was he? And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" He said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it to me, and I'll eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless him." And he brought it near to him, and brought wine and drink, and he drank. And his father Isaac unto him, "Come near now." He said, "Come near now, kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. He blessed him. He done everything it took to get the blessing, didn't he? All at the bidding of his mother, but he understood the blessing was the most important thing. This is the man that God's going to use and take and make 12 tribes. He had 12 sons and one daughter by the name of Dinah. God blessed him and put his hand on him. And we were talking about this place over in Jeremiah chapter 30, just a minute ago, where God refers to Jacob as Israel, because that's his name, isn't it? Yeah. "Thy name shalt be called Israel." And so here God's gave him a new name. And then over in chapter 30, and you see this in Jeremiah's, in the book of Jeremiah, where he references Jacob and what's going on in that time of adversity. If you remember, this is right in there around the Babylonian captivity. And so he references the time of Jacob's trouble. Is that not a seal of approval where God speaks of the time of Jacob's trouble? You say, "Well, he stole it. How could God bless his thievery?" He didn't steal it. It's what God wanted him to have. And because he wanted to have him, he used his mother to make sure that the plan come together. And God received it, and God took him, and we find it right here. It's the blessing of God. And Esau, see it in verse number 31. "And he had made savory meat and brought it. And his father said, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who is it that taketh venison that brought it me?" Now this is the part where Esau comes in, and he has realized that he has been outthought, out-tricked, outmaneuvered, but everything that happened because God wanted it. And so we see it here that Esau is going to wail and cry out and all of these things, and he is upset, he's uptight, and he's made a vow that he's going to kill his brother, whatever it takes. And he realizes he's been outmaneuvered. But I tell you, church, when God's got a plan, he's going to bring it to pass no matter who he has to employ. Now, sometimes people talk about, and we just paid respects this past week of those that tried their best to tear down the highest buildings, and they were successful. They were, but I tell you, God in the end will rule. Amen. And God will reign, and God will bless. And that same land we're talking about here, we reference into the land of Israel being the name of Jacob, right?
And so here we find it as they think to attack and to destroy. That may happen, but I tell you, we've already read the back of the book and we know who wins. Amen. We know that there's a King Jesus that's going to sit and rule and reign on his throne for 1,000 years. We understand that the things that they propose to do, and listen, we know there's going to be great conflict. Let's not be surprised by the fact that Armageddon's going to be everything God says it's going to be. Amen. But here we find it that Israel will prevail, and there also after that will be 1,000-year reign. You know where it's going to be? It's going to be on the earth, thank God. And so here God's going to put all of his enemies to rest, and God's going to work a miracle. And it's one mother. You said, preacher, I'm just one little lonely mother, and I don't know what effect I can have. I tell you, if we stay where we can hear the call of God and hear the commands of God and obey the influence of God and listen carefully to thus saith the Lord, I tell you, you say it doesn't matter what I do. Those kids are going to do whatever they want to do anyway. It does matter. It matters. Why? Because we see it right here that she changed the whole course of history by the fact that she insisted whatever it took. You got to wear goat clothes, go for it. You got to do this. We got to fire up the stove. We'll fire up the stove. Whatever it takes to get the blessing away from that heathen. I'm going to tell you, this is pretty interesting. Jacob and Esau, they made amends, didn't they? They met another time, and in the end of this thing, what we see from the word, in the end of this thing, what we find is that Jacob went to meet Esau, and he was afraid. He was afraid. You know why he was afraid? Because he's flesh. Because he's human. We have to face our fears. And you said, preacher, well, the things I don't want to deal with, therefore I stay away from them. And so this is a little bit of what we've been talking about this past week with some of the family issues where there's not been any closeness in a long time. But then when you're hospitalized and facing 5 bypasses, then all of a sudden you wouldn't mind having a little family around, would you? And you can forget those bygones, let them be bygones. And so here, this is what Jacob and Esau done. And they met at another time. And you remember this thing? Remember this, how Jacob was afraid? Because he knew Esau was a mighty man of war. He raised up with him. He knew he was a bad dude. And so here he goes to meet him. And when he meets him, you know what he finds? He speaks peaceably to him. It's all water under the bridge. He's forgiven. Oh, Jacob got the blessing. He got the blessing. But he lived in fear till the day he walked away from Esau. Because he knew if Esau could get his hands on him, he'd kill him. He vowed to kill him. He stole his blessing. He stole his whole inheritance. Esau knew what it was to be the firstborn church. He knew that he had the privilege. It's not like, I don't think it's near as strong today in our society as it was then. I mean, it was in stone. It was automatic. You have to lay up and wonder how mom and daddy's going to lead things. Not that I hope people don't do that very much. I get sometimes you have things you have to take care of. Everything he hoped for was gone. Somewhere along the way, God blessed him. We know he blessed Jacob, but he also blessed Esau. And he said, oh, brother, it's water under the bridge. I'm paraphrasing. It's water under the bridge. God bless me. Look at all these things he's gave me. I believe God did bless him. If anything good happens, God does it, don't he? But God's eternal plan had to come to pass. And he got his eternal plan. Esau went on down the road
and God blessed him. But in Jacob shall thy seed be called. Brother John said this in closing. He said this about Jacob. He said, yeah, Jacob was a rascal. He said he was God's rascal. Isn't that true? He was a rascal, but he was God's rascal. It wasn't no question where his heart belonged. He raised those 12 boys and Dinah, his daughter. And God had his hand on them. He still has his hand on them today. And you know, when you keep reading and you're going on through, of course, way past the first five books of Moses, and you get over into the King's Chronicles, you see where God still honored. And even when it become the great split, you remember the great split? That was around Rehoboam's time and Solomon's time, and it went 2 tribes to Judah and 10 tribes to Israel. Remember that? And so it's the 10, a lot of times it was the 10 tribes against the 2 tribes, but not always. And here, God, somewhere along the way, hundreds of years later, we don't hear any more of that 10 verses 2, do we? We don't hear any more of that. But I want to tell you, those were fierce fighting times in the Kings. When you read through Kings, Chronicles, there was war everywhere, brother. It was war all over the place. And there was war in the home right there as God has taken and he's ready to move Jacob into the driver's seat. Those were troubled times. Well, let me say this in closing. Trouble doesn't come to stay. It comes to pass. No matter what you're going through, it ain't here to stay. God wants it to pass. Amen. God wants it to subside. And so we go through things. Nobody's exempt from it. We even watched the first family right here out of the seed of Abraham. Trouble, trouble, trouble. And we see, we can all look back and see things they ought to have done different, and they could look forward and see things we could do different, wouldn't they? But here's the thing, as we stand together, let's stand across the building. You've been sitting a little bit. Let me ask you this. What would you like for God to fix on your behalf? Jacob wanted that thing fixed with Esau. He was proud that the whole event was over and many years had passed on. And he's getting to a point in time in his life where he wants to deal with it, but he's afraid to deal with it. And so what happens is he had to face his fears. And I promise you that he scattered those children out because he didn't want the whole bunch killed. If somebody needed to run, I'm going to give y'all a head start. Y'all have a head start. If he attacks us like we're some unknown enemy, you flee. But he faced his fears. God put his hand on him, kept his hand on him, and brought it all to pass. And as we stand, heads bow, eyes closed, you that need to sit is perfectly fine. But I want to ask you one thing. What would it be? What would God want to do in your heart to get some things settled? Jacob had to go find him and get it settled. No doubt it weighed heavy on his heart. I believe there's something inside of Esau. They wanted to get it fixed. Relationships need to be repaired. You say that was divisive. What his mother done was very divisive. That was eternal. That was God's choosing. But they had some physical things to mend and repair. And God honors that, church. He wants to do it on your behalf. I know in our family, we've seen that coming together this past week where God wants to heal and help and minister. Let bygones be bygones. Go forward with God. Today's a new day.
You say, preacher, I can't ever forget about the past. You may not can forget about it, but you better forgive it and let it go. It'll become your omen. It'll become your weight. It'll become your boat anchor that you spiritually can't get away from if you allow that. God wants to deal with it. God wants you to forgive. God wants you to repent. God wants you to let it go. God wants to minister. Father, would you speak to us each one? God, we bless you for every blessing, for all the praise and all the love of God and all the joys that we feel. We thank you and bless you. If there's one needs special prayer or just needs to find a place to give it to you, God, make that happen, we pray. Make it happen. Touch hearts, and we'll praise you and bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we do ask.